What are some of the experimental approaches that are being looked at in these patients? Any that are, you know, maybe you think might come into sort of prime time over the next few years?
So I recently presented at the European Society of Medical Oncology a new drug called trabectedin, which some of you may know as Yondelis. This is a drug that was initially derived from the Caribbean sea squirt, a marine invertebrate that secreted a toxin to protect it from its hostile environment. It's a DNA-active drug. It binds to the minor groove of the DNA and forms macromolecular adducts and transcriptional dysregulation. So I took that drug and added it to liposomal doxorubicin and showed that the combination was much more active than the single FDA-approved liposomal doxorubicin. So again, liposomal doxorubicin versus liposomal doxorubicin and trabectedin. Almost 700 patients, and showed that there was an improvement in progression-free survival, an improvement in response rate. And again, to our prior point, that most of the benefit was in patients that had chemotherapy-sensitive disease. Remember, there's very little benefit of anything that we do in the resistant patient. And so this non-platinum doublet, if you will, liposomal doxorubicin and trabectedin, showed very similar efficacy to the recently FDA-approved carboplatin and gemcitabine combination. So again, I'm not sure you have to use a platinum combination in sensitive disease, because now we have recently reported, and probably soon to be FDA-approved, a non-platinum doublet. And I think that that's what you're going to see as time goes on, tremendous controversy, again, relative to the sequencing. So in resistant patients, do you use liposomal doxorubicin first or topotecan first? And now in sensitive patients, the question is going to be, do you use a platinum doublet, either gem platinum or paclitaxel platinum, or a non-platinum doublet, in this case, trabectedin and liposomal doxorubicin? So this whole field is changing, but I think the good news is that there are new compounds every day, bevacizumab and now trabectedin.
What are the side effects of trabectedin, either alone or combined with liposomal doxorubicin?
So it is marrow suppression. The dose-limiting toxicity is marrow suppression. There are some idiosyncratic liver enzyme elevations that happen in the middle of the cycle and get normal before the patient needs to be treated again. But it basically is a marrow suppressive drug. In fact, if you look at the marrow suppression of a carboplatin-gemcitabine combination versus the marrow suppression of a liposomal doxorubicin trabectedin combination, it's about the same. And at the same time, the good news is that both of those combinations have very little alopecia, very little neuropathy, as opposed to the third option in sensitive patients, which is paclitaxel carboplatin. So I think that very soon we're going to have two options in resistant disease, liposomal doxorubicin topotecan, and three options in sensitive disease, carbo-paclitaxel, carbo-gem, or liposomal doxorubicin and trabectedin. And it's going to be fun to talk about, consider, do research, and present to our patients these options.
What's been seen in terms of single-agent activity with trabectedin?
There are three phase two trials of single-agent trabectedin. All of them show substantial activity in the sensitive patients. So response rates between 30 and 40%. In resistant patients, not so much, between 5 and 10%. If you weren't aware, trabectedin, again known as Yondelis, is approved in Europe through the EMEA in soft tissue sarcomas. It's a very exciting new drug in soft tissue sarcomas after you've failed an ifosfamide or anthracycline-based regimen. And so one of the exciting parts about getting this drug approved in ovarian cancer is that we'll be able to use it off-label in our soft tissue sarcoma patients who heretofore could only get it on a compassionate basis.